Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, Seth, I took that question that I threw at you randomly in the show yesterday, and I turned it into the latest hashtag Pender poll on Twitter last night. That's something I've done each day this week. Just something weighing on my brain, and I want to see what the people think about it.
Uh-huh.
But for the third straight day, the poll that I put up has been very, very lopsided. A couple nights ago, I put up, would you trade Osuna for Ken Giles straight up right after Osuna gave up the
that was a fun one.
The three-run homer to give the A's a lead.
But that was still, like, even in the heat of the moment, you would think people might say, oh, okay, fine. No.
I put it up like 15 minutes after Osuna gave up a three-run home run.
And it was still what? Like, was like it like 90%
to 10,
Osuna?
Yeah, Osuna, right. Yeah. So Giles has a lot of work to do to get back in the good graces of Houston.
Giles is like almost a low-key Osweiler,
yeah.
Which is weird because at least Giles gave us a lot of really good moments.
I feel
there were moments where, but it was too much of a soap opera. It was too much up and down.
I feel like if Osweiler tried to punch himself in the face, he would miss. You know, he'd swing and he'd miss.
The problem is that even if he did punch himself in the face, it wouldn't have injured him.
Right.
That was the most infuriating thing about Osweiler is he refused to get injured.
Yeah.
He was just so damn durable.
He was unbreakable. So I put the poll up last night. The question I asked you in the show yesterday as we were chatting about, I forget if we were chatting about Clowney or Cole, but I like doing these cross-sport ones sometimes.
That sounds like a show that our program director would like, Clowney and Cole, just because it's got alliteration.
A little alliteration.
Like Payne and Pendergast, and okay. In the afternoon we've got Capella, or okay. Clinton Capella.
This picture of Clint Sterner and Clint Capella doing a show. So the poll I put up was, you can only sign one, the other one has to leave. Do you give Gerrit Cole 5 years, $150 million, which would be a top-of-line contract for a free agent pitcher, or do you give Jadeveon Clowney the $75 million guaranteed that he may want?
And the poll results, I'm guessing, I haven't checked in on this.
Okay.
I saw early on that it was 100% Cole.
It was first 16 votes were Cole. Let me just tell you this.
I'm guessing it's like 90%.
There have been over 2,000 votes on this. Yeah, I was going to put the number for you at Cole, 81.5%. Do you go over or under?
Over.
Yeah, 82 is what it was, yeah.
Oh, 82, though. 82%. So Clowney made a comeback.
Clowney steadily was coming back. If we left this poll up for another year or so, Clowney may steadily work his way, because by then Clowney will have actually played some football. There's a lot of recency in this, and I do wonder if I put this poll up again, and let's say the Astros had a disappointing postseason where Cole doesn't pitch as well as we think he can, and Clowney's in the middle of a season in November where he's got 8 or 9 sacks about 8 games in, that maybe people feel a little bit differently about.
I'm torn. It's not even that I'm torn. I guess I'm a little bit confused about the way people perceive Clowney in this town, and I think it's just one of those classic situations where once you set your opinion about somebody, it's really hard to change it. Because I've watched these last couple of years where Clowney's gone out and just beaten the snot out of people. Like, he's had stretches of games where he's been absolutely dominant. And it's like people just grudgingly don't want to accept it or believe it. I think part of it is that the easy go-to stat that people always use are sacks. And Clowney hasn't been real prolific with the sacks. And that's unfortunate because it doesn't tell the whole story. Like, his absolute dominance at times in games hasn't also shown that, hey, he had 16 sacks in this one season or something. So I think part of it is that. And I think part of it is just that they got it set in their head because they watched Warren Sapp and other people that were fed some low-light reels, like, during the draft, tell this story about Clowney that really wasn't true. And they've wanted to believe it, so they're against him. And that's all that, I don't know how much he can do to, even if he has a defensive MVP caliber season this year, I feel like there'd be a lot of people that still wouldn't like him.
Yeah, I do too. And I think I don't know if this is what you're referring to with the Warren Sapp stuff, but as you can imagine, when you put a poll up like this, Seth, you get a lot of, not just people voting on it, but you get a lot of replies where people are giving you commentary or giving you opinions. And on more than one occasion, the reply that I got, which may be the false narrative you're talking about, and this is the one that infuriates me when people evaluate Clowney, because you can say a lot of things about Clowney. Look, if you don't like Clowney because he hasn't achieved what you expected him to as a pass rusher,
yeah,
that's fine. If you believe that maybe there's some things behind the scenes that the Texans are just a little off kilter with on Clowney, that's fine. The one that makes me really angry are the people that contend that he dogs it out there on the field, that he's someone who doesn't bring maximum effort out on the field. Clowney's got a tremendous motor on game day.
Yeah.
He gives great effort out on the field. You can say a lot of things about Clowney, but the 60 minutes out on the football field and the effort level in those 60 minutes should not be one of them. What is this noise that keeps going through our headphones?
Hit your mute button on your phone. I don't know if that's
– that's not
that
mine. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Or, I mean, on your computer.
Yeah,
mine too. Frankly, honestly, I'm not playing the race card here or anything. If you were a white guy, they would not stop gushing about his motor. Like, that's where I keep trying to tell everybody, like, he's a high motor player.
Yes.
It's like, you can't, this is almost impossible. Like, if you're a white defensive lineman and you're good, you will be called a high motor player, whether you are or you're not.
You know, like, this firsthand.
Right. Well, I did have a high motor. But there will, they'll, the first thing they go to in their brains is like, well, it must be because of his motor. So,
yeah.
But meanwhile, like, Clowney, people refuse to talk about Clowney's motor. And I guess I am playing the race card. I'm not telling you this is like the end of society or anything.
Right, right.
It's just, for whatever reason, people just don't want to believe that Clowney plays hard on game day. He plays his ass off. That's how he's chasing down wide receivers 40 yards downfield.
That's right.
So,
yeah, those tweets were a little infuriating. Now, Clowney, Seth, he's one of a handful of guys, some big names that are holding out right now. Payne and Pendergast live at Texans training camp. Just shifting gears on Clowney here. These are the names that are holding out right now. Jadeveon Clowney, Melvin Gordon, Trent Williams, Yannick Ngakoue, which is a big one here in the division.
Yep.
I mean, he's a big-time pass rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars looking for another deal. Is Michael Thomas holding out?
I believe
right now?
He is reporting.
There were
questions as to whether Michael Thomas for the Saints would hold out or not,
okay,
but he is reporting. Bobby Wagner was reportedly possibly going to hold out. He's reporting, but there's talk that he might have a soft holdout,
okay,
where he shows up.
What the hell does that mean?
But he shows up but refuses to participate.
Okay.
That was one of my conspiracy theories last year with Clowney, was that he was having a soft holdout.
Okay.
Because remember, he came, but he wasn't actually practicing
right,
at all.
Right.
So it was a soft holdout. I think of those names, the only one that I have really any sympathy for, I suppose, is Melvin Gordon, just because running backs kind of get screwed over these days because of the way contracts work and the way running backs' careers work out and free agency works out. Running backs sometimes don't ever really get rewarded for their production. Melvin Gordon finally had probably a year where the offensive line didn't hurt him as much last year, and he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I think the Chargers end up coming to some I think teams should start kind of making an exception for running backs and saying, like, listen, all right, look, if we keep you the whole time and kept franchising you, that would likely, no team's going to really take a flyer on you. Let's do a pay-as-we-go. And maybe it's incentive-based, maybe it's a certain amount of guaranteed money up front, but we recognize and understand the situation you're in. We'll make an exception for
you. Do you think the running back thing, Seth, is a bigger thing that the league, you know, we have a CBA coming up here pretty soon. Do you think, I mean, the game just evolves and changes so much that, and a CBA is 10 years. So any type of rule I'm about to talk about here could be obsolete by like 2023. But I almost feel like you're right. Running backs get a bit of a raw deal in that they're devalued, and it's a position that you can clearly tie the amount of punishment somebody gets to when their career, other than rare exceptions, to where their career falls off a cliff. I've wondered that for a long time. Does the league need to have some sort of salary cap exception for running backs? So, you know, can they do one exemption on a player that's listed as a running back and truly is a running back where they don't count against the cap in some shape, form, or fashion? I don't know.
The hard thing with stuff like that is that somebody's going to game it. Like, all of a sudden, then, you know, Belichick's going to call.
Label Brady as a running back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he'll figure out a way to game that system.
Totally.
And the best advice is just don't play running back if you're a young man. Play a different position if you're planning on playing in the NFL. So I think Clowney might have the longest holdout here just because he's the one that's not actually under contract.
Yeah.
All those other guys can get fined and pretty heavily as training camp moves along.
What's your sense on which one of these is the most contentious or could be the most contentious?
I think there's something going on with Yannick Ngakoue in Jacksonville that I can't quite figure out. Remember, he got in that fight with Dante Fowler during training camp last year.
Yeah.
I want to say he's been in at least one altercation, like kind of a high-profile one there. So he's a guy that wasn't a high draft pick but has been one of their best players over the past several years. So I think he probably feels he probably feels a little put out that, hey, you gave Dante Fowler chances even though I beat him out, and I want to be rewarded for my production. It just and then with everything else that's going on in Jacksonville, it seems like this Tom Coughlin-led football team and this Doug Marrone head coach, who's supposed to be a disciplinarian, seems like it's got the wildest locker room, like with the most pissed off guys, and kind of just almost the most free spirit. I'm gonna do what's good for me, like all those things. It's like a strange contrast between.
Well, it feels even stranger because of the day and age we live in now, too, where teams tend to be more buttoned up because of all the social media, and I think teams just. We don't see any of the wild as many of the wild characters as we used to see back in the day. So when we see them, when we see things like Jalen Ramsey stepping out of the back of a Brinks truck like he was yesterday,
yeah.
There is a holy bleep aspect to it because I feel like we just don't see as much stuff like that.
Right,
anymore.
Yeah.
So guys tend to be more filtered and educated on how to interact with the media nowadays.
You know, part of it, I wonder if now, because today's athlete is more in tune with how to get themselves publicity because of social media and everything.
And there Adidas on the side of the truck, too.
Yeah, there's more kind of diva-type behavior that's standard now that would have been frowned upon 20 years ago. So I wonder if when guys get to Jacksonville and they realize how much less press they get because they're in Jacksonville, because it's such a small market, and then it's in the AFC South, this whole division just doesn't get a whole lot of attention because it's cities like Indianapolis and Jacksonville and Nashville. That I wonder if that makes them act out even that much more. They're like, I got to get some somehow.
You played for Jacksonville for 5 years. When you would go on the road as a Jag, did you feel like when you would go on the road, like you were playing in a different league than some of these teams you would travel to? Like Jacksonville was this outpost somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Like it was different. Well, even when I came to Houston,
yeah.
It was strange because I was in Jacksonville on some really good football teams. And the whole time I was there, I don't know if I ever got a free meal.
Yeah.
Where I come to Houston, and within like 2 months of being here, I don't know if I'd paid for a meal yet. It was really cool, and that was before we'd even played a single game. It was just it's a different environment, you know.
The city was pretty starved for football.
Yeah.
And you were not starved at all.
I was just this big chubby nose guard, and people are doing that. I can't imagine what David Carr got for free.
Yeah, but you're gregarious.
Like, it's a good looking quarterback. My God,
are you kidding me? Yeah, whatever he might have been able to get for free, I'm just guessing the makeup of David Carr. He probably took advantage of about 10% of it.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, you're talking about like ladies
the flesh.
Well, I wasn't taking advantage of any of that.
But you were saying David Carr. You weren't a quarterback. I'm saying
quarterback, you
get a lot of stuff thrown at you.
You know, John, David was nothing like you, Seth, out in the whorehouses every single night.
Just saying what was available to him. You were put aside at that point in the conversation.
Seth Payne got into town. He was like, what? No chicken ranch? Damn you, Marvin Zindler.
All right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.